Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And he loves you.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is your truly Pastor C. We are in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G, you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Praise God. It's good to be back on another Thursday night. We're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Sheila G, thank God for another May 18th. Got your text early this morning about a happy heavenly birth date for our dad. We call him Big Old Daddy. And it reminded me of this story of Paul going through his journey that God had instructed him, and how it wasn't always easy. It had some ups and some downs. And shortly after you texted me, my son texted me and shared about some his journeys. And we just shared a couple words about our dad, his granddad, how everybody has a journey. And we were just reminiscing about the journey of our father. And we always reminisce about those who have gone on before us, particularly in May. You know, we got your son, you and Dr. G's son's birthday, and we have my granddaughter's birthday in May, and so many of our family members in May, and it's in Memorial Day is also in May. And as we are going through the story of Paul, we're remembering his journey, that it wasn't always easy. And that's the story of life in general, Sheila G and Dr. G, is that it's a journey, and along that journey, we have ups and downs. And then as we go toward the end of the book of Acts, we see that Paul, his earthly ministry is on the downside, going toward the end. But it's rich to look at the history and all the things that he's done for God and all the challenges that he's had along the way, and at every step of the way that God sends an angel or God sends a message to him to encourage him, even in the most difficult times of their life. And Sheila G, I remember that she said on the last day of our father's earthly ministry, how he gave you the thumbs up and how he was positive and how he told you how that he was proud of all of us and that he continued in his ministry, even in the midst of his illness and in the midst of his physical body wearing out, that he was still encouraging you, encouraging us to continue our journey and continue our fight to carry out the will of God in our lives. Sheila G.
Amen. And that's so true. That's why I sent that, when I sent that text to you all this morning, and you having brothers that are all men of God, father carrying on dad's legacy, I don't take that lightly, because I know each and every one of you guys, all four of you, have had your own crosses to bear and your own journeys, and you just followed in dad's footstep where you still had joy despite whatever you've been through. You still have joy, and that's what we need. That's what we're missing right now. The fact that we have so many young men and young boys just shooting and killing and randomly just shooting each other and getting into fights and going, it's like they have no hope. And they don't have that hope because they don't have that male figure, that adult. There's things that we can give our sons as women, but it's something about a godly father, a godly man that instills that in their son, which teaches them how to endure life and not to give up hope. And I thank our Father for that, because he taught you guys that it's going to be rough, it's going to be tough. He would have to get to the seat of your understanding sometime, but it ended up being a blessing, and you all are carrying on his legacy. And that's why I pray for all these young men, teenagers that are not men yet but are still living a life of lost hope.
Amen, amen. A powerful, powerful word. And Dr. G, I often listen to you when you talk about your first pastor, Pastor King, and the things that he's instilled in you, and how you're caring about and how you're helping others in ministry. And so I'm a benefactor of that, even though I never met him, that I can see his hand in your life as a mentor, as someone that learned from him. And in his journey, and now it's passed down through your journey, and how you continue to encourage, even through the ups and the downs of ministry, to let people know, as long as you follow and trust God, that your purpose or your ministry for God will be completed. Dr. G.
Well, yes, Pastor King was. He was a tremendous figure. And it was all about the Lord, the way he dealt with things. And I'll tell anybody, he was my first pastor. He was my best pastor. And I learned a great deal from him, just how to be humble and, you know, how to love the Lord in everything that you did. But along with him, I learned a lot from your father. JP was an example that you could follow. And I thank God for people such as him, Pastor King, and others that have really set a legacy for young men to follow. And I agree with Sheila. You know, that's one of the problems that we have in our society now. There aren't enough good men that these young boys can really pattern themselves after.
Amen, amen. And as we look at Paul's journey toward his last recorded stay, which would be in Rome, is that even in this journey, he was leading men, and some were making good decisions, some were making bad decisions, but he was following the Lord, and he was even in the midst of those storms with them, giving them guidance, giving them instructions. And like you and Sheila G have said, that we have to be the men of God, that even in difficult times, and I know on last week, we talked about my dad, our dad and his mojo, and how he was a leader of men, as a battalion commander, in charge of field artillery in the front forward bases of NATO, and how he would lead them and direct them in their faith and in their job of doing it well in their preparedness. And it takes a lot to lead a large group of men like this. And so Paul is leading these men on his way to his last recorded life in Rome, that on this ship that they're on, the final journey is almost 300 men that they were heading toward Rome. And he was giving them instructions as a prisoner. And he was giving them instructions how to survive. And sometimes in ministry, you feel like you're the least of all people. But because you have been given an assignment by God and God has given you a purpose, that you have to lead in spite of the situation. And it takes a lot to be able to lead, even though you're not considered, quote unquote, the leader, and lead by example to accomplish the will of God for that situation and that time. And it's because of Paul's relationship with God, the Most High God, that he was able to convey and examine his faith and to set his faith as an example. And like you always mentioned, Sheila, in Colossians, as he's working as not unto man, but unto God. And
right.
This was a ministry that even during these difficult days of the storm and shipwreck, that he was able to lead men to a place where they could see the salvation of the Lord. And many of them, I believe, turned to God because of his leadership in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the shipwreck, in the midst of being confined, in the midst of not unideal situations. And like you and Dr. G were saying, this is what's needed in today's environment right now, is you need men with conviction, with leadership, who have been mentored by mentors and are passing this down, so that when the storms of life come and the shipwrecks of life come and the disappointments of life come, that you can stand up and you can show leadership and that they would have this hope. That even in these times of great challenge, that if you have your relationship with God and you can trust God, that you'll be able to weather the storm and the shipwrecks of life. Sheila G.
Amen. And that's a true sign of leadership. It's easy to lead when everybody's getting along, everybody's on the same page, and everybody is in agreement. But a true leader is one that can stay focused on the mission and continue forward and press on towards that mark, even in the midst of adversity. And when you show that type of leadership, then others will follow, and then they will learn from that and be able to carry it on. And that's what Paul did. He took that same fervor, that same zeal that he had as far as persecuting Christians, and turned it around for God. And that's why he was able to be a true leader, because it wasn't like he turned to God and was wishy-washy. He turned to God and was just as committed to turned his life over to God and was just as committed to the Christianity mission as he was in the persecution. And that's what we need, people that aren't going to be flowing with the wind. It's like, okay, as long as it's happy, as long as it works for me, then I'm going to do good. But as soon as it gets a little uncomfortable or it's not going the way, either I'm going to give up or I'm not going to put forward that extra effort. And you have to be able to be consistent with that effort in season and out of season. And that's where you find people that have fallen short with this sense of entitlement, where they believe that life should be good for them no matter what the impact is around anyone else. But we have to be committed, show that leadership, show that it may be uncomfortable, it may be tough, but as long as I'm keeping my eye on the prize, which is God, I can press forward and draw others with me.
Amen. That's so important to really understand, to stay focused, stay humble, and stay trusting God, and it'll bring you through. And people need to hear that message. We have to make sure that we continue to share that message. But it was great to hear that, see that text, and to be able to reminisce and remember these great men of God in our lives, and experience the word of God on today. And so we're going to pick up in Acts the 27th chapter, and we're going to see, Paul's journey, and his last journey to Rome, and his desire to share the gospel there. That God told him that not only are you going to preach it in Jerusalem, but you're also going to preach it in Rome before he took this journey. And then along the way, he's also going to receive confirmation from God, amen, that even in the midst of the storm and in the midst of the shipwreck, that they were going to make it. And, you know, that's one of the messages that the leader of God has to always share with those that they're leading, is that we're trusting God, and God is going to allow us to make it through the storm, through the shipwrecks, through the ups, through the downs, through the losses, through the gain. And that's one of the more powerful messages that Paul wrote. I believe it was in the book of Philippians. He said that he's learned to abase and he's learned to abound. In other words, learned to deal with a lot. He turned with little, but whatever state he was in, he was able to be content with what God provided. And so here he is on this ship after going through that circus trial with Bernice and Festus and Agrippa and all of that, and now he goes from that trial to a trial of leading folk on a journey from Judea all the way through the Mediterranean Sea, all the way to Italy. And it was during a time of year where it wasn't ideal to sail. And you know, as I was looking at that, someone always looking for the ideal to time, ideal to sail. But in ministry, it's not always ideal. It's like God puts you in the midst of this unideal time to serve, to preach, to teach, to set the example, because when it's ideal and everything, people are not apt to listen. But when the storms of life rage, then people have lost hope, and now that their senses have been heightened, that their time, they're ready to listen. Sort of like when the time of the global pandemic occurred, yeah. People were scared and people were praying, Lord have mercy, people were praying and they were turning to God, and their senses were enlightened. But now that the pandemic is cleared over and it's petering out, folk have forgot all about the danger and the pandemic and all of those things, and they've gone back a lot to what they want to do, and so we have to understand that we're always going to be in a situation of challenge. Sheila G.
Amen. And the key to that is when we're in that challenge is to learn from it. You know, one of my favorites. And to appreciate it, appreciate that God is with us, so we can't be focused on the problem, but focus on the problem solver. But that's why one of my things that I learned from another matriarch, Minister Polly Henry, she taught us in our women's ministry that you can be in an unhappy situation but still have joy, because when you're in that unhappy situation, you need strength and you need peace. And that joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. So she said, don't look at your circumstance. Look at the fact that you have someone that you can go to, that you can still have joy, that you can still praise God, and you can still have peace. And that's what we need to understand when we are in our storms and when we're going through our storms, is to still you may be unhappy, but you can still have joy and focus on what gives you joy.
Amen, amen. Let's go to chapter 27, and again, we're going to go on this boat ride with Paul from Judea to Rome. And one of the things we talked about last week was that God will always have somebody there on your journey to encourage you and to help you. And so as they boarded the ship, and this is verse 2, I'm going to start from verse 1, and I'm reading from the NIV. It says, when it was decided that we would sail for Italy, Paul and some of other the prisoners were handed over to a centurion named Julius, who belonged to the imperial regiment. We boarded a ship from Adrimetum, about to sail for ports along the coast of the province of Asia. We put out to sea. Aretikus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica, was with us. So they have a bunch of people and the Roman regime, you know, sailing this route. And then on verse 3, it says, the next day we landed in Sidon, and Julius, in kindness to Paul, put him to go to his friends so that they might provide for his needs. And we talked about that last week, that even though you might not be in an ideal situation, God could pull the strings of the hearts of anyone. And so even though Paul was in a situation that might not have been most advantageous, God pulled the hearts of the strings of Julius and allowed Paul to be provided for his needs. And that's the thing about God, is that he's always going to provide us for our needs. Might not give us everything we want, but he'll provide us for our needs, and he'll provide for us for our journey in the ministry. And if you stay focused and you stay close to God, you'll be able to see where God is working on your behalf. He's always providing your needs. And sometimes he uses folks that we wouldn't ordinarily think would provide. And so that's why it's important to try to get along with everybody, especially those of the household of faith, because you never know when you entertain angels unaware or people that are being used by God on your behalf. So always try to look for God in the situation. And so here Julius is allowing Paul to visit with friends, and that God will provide us for his need. And then we go to chapter 27, verse 4. It says, from there we put out to sea again and passed to the lee of Cyprus because the winds were against us. And we talked about last week the lee, and during this chapter, as you read down through this chapter, there's mention of these lees and L-E-E-E in the NIV, it's a thing where it's the east side of the island. And during sailing, you have to be strategic on how you sail to take advantage of the winds and which way is blowing. And so as they said, the lee side or the backside of an island, that they would find shelter and be able to slow down long enough for the wind to change, to be able to put wind in the sail and proceed further on their journey. And so it was the wind was against them, and so they had to go on the backside of the island. And many times we have to adjust our approach to ministry because of the winds that are against us. And I think it's naive you have naivete if you think that in ministry there's not going to be some headwind, that you think there's not going to be some trials and some tribulations, some issues and some things that will come against you. And you have to be able to listen to God. You have to be able to be patient and be able to adjust to the headwind. And if you don't, what will happen is you won't be able to endure in ministry. You won't be able to endure and complete your journey for God, the will of God. And as you study the word of God, look at this. Wow, this is a treacherous journey. Like I was saying last week, when I read it, it was like I was exhausted by the time I finished reading the chapter of all the things that they had to go through. But it reminds me, Dr. G, of ministry. It's like it's up, down. You wait, you go, you move forward, you deal with people and you deal with situations and circumstances, all in keeping focus with is we've got to get to the end of the journey. And you know, in Paul's last letters, he said, you know, I fought a good fight. I finished the course, you know, and that was the focus, to fight the good fight, to finish the course. But when you're fighting and when you're on this course, there's going to be headwinds. There's going to be the contrary. And the King James says, when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And so under Cyprus, it in the King James is the lee in the NIV, that you had to go underneath it because of the contrary winds. And so there's no way to sugarcoat it, is that in ministry, on your journey doing the will of God, there's going to be headwinds that you have to learn to negotiate. Dr. G, help me out here.
Well, you're right. Sheila was sitting there smiling and laughing. But in the 28 years that I've pastored, I think I could write a book about a little bit of everything that I've had to deal with. You talk about trials, you talk about storms, you talk about attitudes, you talk about people's personalities, all kinds of things, emotions, death, you know, you name it, we go through it. And you're right, you know, God gives us the strength, and he always provides a way for us to go through it, because at that point it's not about what we want. It's about doing the will of the Lord. And as we come into these positions, really ministry in itself is rough. Whether you're pastoring or you're just sitting under somebody, life is going to always throw you a monkey wrench, and you have to be prepared to follow the course that the Lord gives you. And that's the only way that you can succeed.
Amen. Amen. Sheila G, you want to chime in on that?
The reason why I was sitting there laughing when you were talking was because I was thinking about the times where we would literally pull up to the church, because there were so many demonic spirits that were acting up in God's house, that we would have to pray before we could go in the building. And it's bad when you know you're going to church, you know you're going to serve the Lord, but you don't want to go.
Amen.
And you don't want to go because you know the people that you got to face in there, and you got to look past the people and look past the mm-hmm. demonic spirits and focus on God. I was talking to a pastor yesterday. I was listening to something with Joyce Meyer, and she was talking about Christians that are always frowning. And I said, remember way back when we at New Birth, you would get in the pulpit and look out and tell the congregation they looked like they were sucking on sour lemons? Because in there just looking to get something started with these faces. And we would sit out there, I'd pray. I'm like, you know what, Lord, I'm going to walk up in here anywhere. I'm up anyway. I'm going to put a smile on my face. If they don't smile back, it doesn't matter, because we're doing it on behalf of you. And that's the kind of endurance and that's the kind of commitment you have to have for the Lord. You cannot sit there with your mouth poked up in God's house, because to your point, when you're talking about they let him go amongst friends, that's why we go to church, so that we can be Amen. Amongst friends to build up each other's spirit. But if you come up there and it's a battle in church, then what are we supposed to do out in the world? Amen. But yeah, I'm telling you, that is that ministry, that dealing with the demonic spirit, because it comes up on you harder, because they know that you know who you belong to, so it's a bigger battle.
Amen, amen. And it's you have to read the whole Bible and these chapters in context, and that's why we take so much time to go into the details, because always at the beginning it sets up for the end of it that God gets the glory. And so as you read the Bible, even though some things are challenging, oh my gosh, this is terrible, because you have a relationship with God and you have history of God and you have the hall of faith of all these people who've gone through with God, that you are encouraged. And so you're like, this is crazy for Paul to go through it, but because I know God and I know how God works, that this is just preparing him to carry out the will of God and for God to get the glory. And so when I read this, it's like, man, this is exhausting, but I know at the end, God's going to get the glory and people are going to be saved. And as you go through ministry, like you say, you go to ministry and challenges that come and these headwinds, you understand that you're going through so that God can get the glory. And that helps you to endure the storm. It helps you endure the shipwrecks because you know you're going through. And you all through the Bible, you see that, you know, what man meant for your bad, God turned it around for your good. And, you know, you go through your misery will turn into your ministry. And as you learn that, and it's something you have to learn, you have to press your way through the emotions, through the feelings, through the humanness. And we are human. I forget that word that Dr. G made up the other day, but it had to be human something. I forget what it was. But you are. What was it?
I think it was human. Something like that.
I can't remember. That was a Dr. G-ism, but you're human, and don't get me wrong. As long as we live in this flesh, that's going to be part of the headwind. Part of the headwind is the flesh. That's why it's important to age in ministry with the Lord, because the hot head and the quick temper and the quick tongue that you had early on, you have to learn to let that thing go, because you realize that it's contrary to making progress, and you have to learn to allow the Holy Spirit to speak, the Holy Spirit to give you the thoughts to be able to navigate the headwinds of ministry. And that's why it's important to not discount the seniors in the church, the ones that have the wisdom, that have the knowledge, that have gone through the tough situations and the struggles, and to listen and to have respect for them. Because they're the ones that's been there, done that. They got the T-shirt, the hat, the backpack, the MP3, the screen, the cloud, and all of that stuff. and with a few words, they can sum up what's going on. And sometimes it's just, baby, trust the Lord, or honey, it's gonna be all right, or sweetie, just take and trust God. And you need these people in the church. And like you were saying, Sheila, you need that fellowship in the church to just have that mother or that father or that brother that's been through the storms to say it's going to be all right. Sort of like we was talking about with my daughter on last week of all the things she went through with the hospital emergency fever and this count and that count and all these things. And, you know, I always tease her that this too shall pass to encourage her. And so just, you know, before we started Bible study, you know, we're just teasing her and saying, you feeling all right now? And things are a lot different this week than it was last week. And when you have that history and you have people that will encourage you and tell you, remember your blessing, how you got blessed, you pull on your past victories, as you say, Sheila G. What that does is when those storms come, you strap in, you say, all right, here we go. and you weather the storm. And I used to get teased because my nose used to always run. And my mom, she would say, you don't never put any tissues in your pocket, but you use your sleeve. And I would wipe my nose on my sleeve. And what that would tell me was that I had the ability to be resourceful. And in these storms, you have to be resourceful. And if you don't have any tissue, good God Almighty, you got to use your sleeve. You got to use your sleeve. Come on, Sheila G, help me out.
Yeah, that was a mommyism. I had another mommyism as you were talking about how you just don't give up. And she used to say that you get on your knees and you pray, stay on your knees as long as you can, continuing praying to the Lord. And when your knees wear out, you sit on your butt. But you don't stop praying. So then you should never grow tired of praying. And when she said that one to me, I was like, okay, that's what the definition of prayer without ceasing is. You can lay prostrate, you can stay on your knees, but when your knees get worn out, doesn't mean that you stop praying. You just sit on your butt and keep on praying to your point of being resourceful.
Amen. And so Paul, in this particular challenge. He was mature in the Lord, and so these storms and these shipwrecks and all these various characters, they didn't dissuade him. And going before Agrippa and Bernice and Festus, none of that dissuaded him because he had seen God bring him through. And so that gets us down to chapter 27, verse 5. It says, when we had sailed across the open sea off the coast of Sicilia and Pamphylia, we landed in Myra in Lycia. And it's taking time. And as it takes time to sail in less than advantageous conditions, you run into people that are impatient. And I found in ministry, when you run into people that are impatient, they get emotional and they don't want to wait on God. and that's one of the challenges of ministry, where you're ministering to people that are impatient and don't want to wait on God. One of the things that challenges of starting a new church, a new ministry, and we're going on 20 years now, is that people are impatient. And so every step of the way that we've gone, you've had people that were impatient. And we started at the house, when we started at the school, we started at our Ritchie Road location, and now we're at our location in Landover Hills. You have people that are impatient, and they want they drive by the mega church, and they want the mega church from the beginning, not realizing all the things that had to happen to get to the mega church.
Right.
And so you always deal with that challenge of people that they don't want to start in Jerusalem and work their way all the way through the storms to get to Rome. They want to start with Jerusalem and like, I dream a genie, boom, now I'm in Rome. But it doesn't work that way. And so you deal with that challenge. And so here Paul is traveling. And they're in Myria in Lycia, and if you look at this and you Google it, you can see the journey, Paul's journey from Jerusalem to Rome, and you can see across the Mediterranean Sea all the points where he stopped as they would go, and they would have to hop from island to island, and then they would have to go from ship to ship, and so they would have to go on the lee side of the, or the east side, or the shelter side of the island, wait for the wind to change, move. Go to another area, wait for the wind to change, move. Go from another area, wait for the winds to change and move. And that's the way ministry is, and that's the way life is. But you have people that because of their humanness, they think everything's supposed to be smooth, and it's not supposed to be any trials, any downtime, or any periods of time where you needed to wait. They just think you're supposed to go from here and here. This is what God says, so I'm supposed to be here right away. Only thing that God says, he didn't promise that the road would be easy. The only thing God promised Dr. G is that he'd be with us. He didn't promise it was going to be easy. He didn't promise it wouldn't be raining and storm. He said, and lo, I'll be with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. He didn't say the journey was going to be easy. Help me out, Dr. G.
And that's something that we stand on and we keep, you know, hidden in our hearts. The journey is rough, and it's going to be rough. And like you said, the Lord never promised that it was going to be a ball of ease. But he said, lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. And when you've got the Lord with you, you know, it makes the journey a little bit easy. It makes dealing
Amen.
With the things that we have to contend with. You know, Sheila said, you know, we ought to have joy in our hearts, and that's true. You know, may not feel like it, but you still ought to have joy because of what God is doing in your life.
Amen. Let's read a little more in chapter 27, and we'll look at verse 6. It says, there the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing for Italy and put us on board. And so they were determined to go, and centurion found the ship Alexandrian. So they got off one ship and got onto another ship. And it says in verse 7, it says, we made slow headway for many days and had difficulty arriving off secrete us. When the wind did not allow us to hold our course, we sailed to the lee of Crete opposite Salmon. So you're seeing the challenges develop. You're seeing that the wind is not cooperating, or making difficulty, slow, and understand where their destination is, but they're not getting there fast enough. It's sort of like a kid waiting on Christmas. It's like, if anybody's ever been there as a kid, you're waiting for Christmas, but you can't get there. And so you're frustrated, and you're anticipating get there. But the thing of, they wanted to get to Rome. They wanted everything to be smooth sailing. But even as adults, we know from last Christmas to this coming Christmas, we've had some challenges in our lives. And you've had some challenges in your lives, and you've had to shed some tears, and you had to visit the hospital, and you had to have some bad phone calls, and you had to have some disappointing news on your job or in your family or in the church. But you know that Christmas is coming. And this is the thing with the Christian, you know that God's ultimate plan is coming. And so we just have to learn how to make our way with joy and not get discouraged by the challenges of life. And so, you know, as they're going from island to island, and sometimes that's got to be frustrating. I remember we used to go every year, we used to drive down to Atlanta to see our brothers down there. And the road trip sometimes was like, oh, my gosh, because you had so many people. We had kids, and they were kids, and you had to stop, and then they would forget stuff, and then they would have attitudes in the car, and then they would have attitudes, and your mother would have attitudes, and your mother would have an attitude with the dad, then the dad would have an attitude, and you're like, oh, my gosh, and they're crying. Are we there yet? What's going to happen? I got to go to the bathroom. And then everybody had different needs. And you stop, you try to go through the drive-through, and so you don't have to go in if you have to use the bathroom. And then I had a kid that he couldn't just order straight off the menu. He had to have, like he was ordering at a restaurant, specialized stuff. So then it took longer for that, and then the sister would be mad with him. And then it was like, but you knew eventually you was going to get there. But it was wrought with people on the road and the rain and the construction along the way and the backups, and you used the GPS, and the GPS would send you the wrong way, and then you had the roads that weren't nice, and you had different types of speed traps and all of this on the journey. But you know, eventually you was gonna make it. And you have to learn to understand that these things are going to happen, but you still can have joy, and you can still be encouraged and have, like you talked about earlier, to give you that hope. And so as they're going through this, you know, it's like it's a lot to go through, and every day sometimes, and people suffer with mental challenges and mental illness because they lose hope and they don't have people rallying around them to let them know it's going to be rough, but we're here. We're going to get through this thing together. We're going to get through this journey. And that's a lot of the mental challenges. And that's why it's important to tune in to your ministry on a weekly basis, whether it's your prayer service, whether it's your Bible study, whether it's your worship service, whether it's to talk to a friend, have prayer with a friend on a weekly basis, because mentally and physically, you're going to be challenged every day. They're going to be times where you're on that lee side and you're waiting for the wind, and you need somebody to give you a word of encouragement. Hey, it's going to be all right. You know, that's why I told my daughter, you know, this too shall pass. And she was wore out, and the kids were wore out, and the grandma was wore out, and, you know, everybody was wore out. And, you know, we just rallied around and said, hey, this too is going to pass, and we're going to pray. And now, you know, we got some wind to sail to the next test. Sheila G.
Amen. And as you were thinking about this, I thought about the kids in college, because today with my new client, I interviewed two college students that are going to come through as contractors that graduated in May of this year. And then I thought about Jessica, and each one of them, they don't know each other. And Jessica was a total separate situation. And they talked about just that, how they were in school, had their plan, knew they were going to graduate, doing their thing, and then the pandemic came. And each one of them, I saw Jessica go through it here, that whole adjustment of all of a sudden being off course, just like a storm, having to uproot, run home, and still continue on with your life to get to that goal of graduation. And so I saw Jesse go through it. And then to hear on these interviews, the both of them, and they all had accounting degrees, were talking about how their graduation meant that much more to them, because it didn't happen the way they expected it to happen. And when the pandemic happened and they got thrown off of how – what the plan was and how it was supposed to go, in the middle of them doing what they needed to do, they panicked. But one thing that they did was they patted themselves on the back in such a way to say that somehow, some way, and without saying it was the Lord, but I could hear it in their voices, that they got through. And just thankful now to be out of school, just graduated this month, and ready. They're hungry to work. They're like, I know I got a degree, but I'm ready to start an entry level, because this thing here was harder than I thought it was going to be.
Amen. And Dr. G, that's the same thing in ministry. And a lot of people give up in ministry. A lot of people throw in the towel during the pandemic. A lot of people in ministry, they just stop. For whatever reason, it was a shock to their system, and they weren't able to adapt to the challenges of going to Zoom or going to Blog Talk or going to Facebook or whatever medium. And then going back to the building, and coming back out of the building, and going back to the building, and trying to maintain your communion and your tithes and your offerings, and you know, getting people to understand that, you know, God is in control and this too shall pass. Dr. G.
You are absolutely right. Because we sit back sometimes and we think about how life was before the pandemic, and then when the pandemic hit, how we had to make adjustments, and that wasn't the easiest thing in the world. And then you're trying to get people used to calling in and, you know, having services on Zoom, and, you know, it was a thing where it was an unusual situation, but if you had the faith to believe in God, you know you were going to make it. And through that, a lot of people, they you know, didn't come back once we were able to get back in the building. Because like you said, you know, we were out, we were in, we were out, we were in. And for whatever reason, they got used to being out, so they didn't come back. And when you look at the adjustments that, you know, we all had to make, learning how to preach on Zoom, that wasn't the easiest thing. You know, having to silence everybody because of the noise that was being made. I mean, there were a lot of challenges. And being able to cope, that's part of your faith. That's part of growing up in the Lord. Like you said, God never promised it was going to be smooth sailing all the way. So you have to learn how to make adjustments on your journey.
Amen, amen. Rapidly running out of time, so I'm gonna use that as our question tonight is learning how to make adjustments along your journey. It's something that you have to do. Some people get there and understand it quicker than others, but you have to learn to make adjustments along your journey. So we're going to go to our first caller, last four digits, 1741. 1741, good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Well, some adjustments I think I made a little bit. It was easier for me than some others. Some of them I'm still working on. And that goes with the learning and the growing process. But, yes, we do have to learn to make adjustments in our ministry and in our growth process. And are they always comfortable? No, they're not. But we have to ask God to give us the wisdom and the knowledge and help us to adjust. And it's necessary. We do need to do it. As our world changes, we need to change to meet the I don't want to use the word demand, but we need to be able to be a witness to reach the people. And so sometimes,
right.
Yes, we do have to adjust. And we should always be in that learning process.
Amen.
And so sometimes it's not easy as you age. Like I said, some mm-hmm. things are not easy for me. And it was a couple of things that happened during corporate time that I didn't adjust to really well. But I need to improve. I need to get better and stuff. But I thank God that, you know, he's still working with me and I'm still teachable and willing
Amen.
To learn. So
Amen.
I'm grateful for that.
Amen. Amen. We're going to go to our next caller. Thank you for your comment tonight. Our last four digits, 8760. 8760. Good evening.
Good evening. What was the question again?
Learning to make adjustments along your journey.
I understand now that is very important. I feel like when I first started on my journey, I was making adjustments, but I really wasn't paying attention to it. And now that I am growing more spiritually, it's like now I'm paying more attention to the adjustments that I'm making, and I'm learning so much. And I thank God for that, because I feel like now, by me, you know, learning to make these adjustments and, you know, going with the Lord's flow, it's like I feel like now I'm being placed on the path that he wants me to go on. So I thank
mm-hmm.
God for, you know, I thank God for doing that and for opening my spiritual eyes to that.
Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We go to our next caller. Last four digits, 7611. 7611, good evening.
Good evening. Well,
good evening.
I'm going through an awful lot at this point. I have to hold on to the Lord. The Lord knows me better than I know myself, and I just have to bite on my nails and bite my lip if I don't say the wrong thing or say the wrong thing. I'm going through some changes now that I never thought I would never see going through that. I never
mm-hmm.
went through those things that I'm going through now. And I have to hold on Lord, and only he one can get me out of this. I'm about to snap like a green bean. It gets so hard to me. I have to hold on God's hand and beg him and pray. I hope I can make it. I don't know where I'm going, but I just have to hold my head because it gets so hard to me, and I got no place to go. And I know but the Lord, and he knows me better than I know myself. But I got to stick with him, and whatever he says go, that's where I have to go. If I got to go and leave here, I got to go and leave here. So that's why I got to hold my hand. Thank you, Father, for allowing me to get this far. I didn't think I was going to get this far anyway. And wherever I get, I'll go. Whatever this do with me, God got me in hand. And when I fall to the bottom, then that's where I'll be going. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. I'm going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 6309. 6309. Good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Yes. You have to make a lot of adjustments and changes and all like that. But when I first when I seriously got into the Lord, and he taught me patience and humility, you know, it's kind of step back for you. A lot of things can come your way, but if you believe and trust in him, then you know that he's going to bring you through. And during that pandemic, yes, it upset my apple cart because I love to come to church on Sunday. And after that, our pastor didn't do nothing but put up Zoom so everybody could still be on that phone on Sunday. They wanted to be. And I'm just so thankful for that. Even to now, to this right now, he still got the Zoom running for the people that can't come to church, can't make it to church, you know, like me, you know. But I'm so thankful for that, and I'm thankful for him, the way he just shows us how he leans and trusts in the Lord. And he'll make you. If you got anything in you, you got to come up. You got to put up something. You got to get up and do something if you got anything in you. So I'm just thankful to be able to stand up with the things that we have to go through in life to be working for the Lord. Because whatever we go through in life don't even make don't touch nothing the way he went through and what they did to him. So we should be able to go through everything. We got to believe. We got to trust. We got to wait on him. And if you do that, you know, I don't care what you have to go through. You got to believe and you got to trust and you got to wait on. If he takes you home, that's still part of your deliverance. You know, if he lets you stay, you still here to do much more, you know. So I'm just thankful and to still be here. But I do know the value of, you know, chiming in on that thing. He's the only good thing you can chime in on. You better go on and do it. You better go on and do it because everybody don't get these chances like this.
Amen.
So I love him because he sure is taking care of me. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits. 1411. Good evening.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Great question. For me, if I could sum up Christianity using one word, I think that would be it. You know, being a Christian, it's full of adjustments. You know, it's like building a plane as you fly it, you know. And then the crazy, funny thing about God is that, you know, we make the adjustments that are comfortable with us. But then when God's like, okay, I need you to change your friends. I need you to change how you talk. I need you to handle adversity. Then it's like, whoa, that's too much of an adjustment. It's an adjustment that's too difficult. And I think that's what I've had to learn is that we make adjustments that are comfortable for us, easy for us. But being a Christian, God demands you to make important adjustments, life-changing adjustments. Look, permanent adjustments, not do it for a little while, then resort back to how you used to be. It's like you got to let some stuff go and continue to grow. But again, when you're adjusting, you're also putting yourself in a position of having to change things. And as we know, Christians, we don't like change. We like being comfortable. We like having things set in our ways because we work so hard to get to a level of comfort. And God's like, I don't want you to stay here too long. I want you to adjust and I want you to grow and do it. So for me, the struggle that I've had is when the adjustments need to be made, they make me feel uncomfortable because it puts me in an unfamiliar territory. And I'm like, I'm not used to this. I don't like this, but I have to learn that if you want to be serious about this journey, constantly making adjustments, it's like really and fine-tuning yourself to be a better version of yourself or be the version that you were destined to be. So, you know, when you talk about adjustment, I don't like the word. I'm going to be honest with you. But, again, we have to constantly keep that in the back of our mind that you say one thing, but God expects you to do the other. And the only way you're going to get from point A to point B is to adjust. Because, remember, if you don't make the adjustments, we're going to continue to have the same problems we have. We're going to continue to have the same mindset we have. And then what does that do? That doesn't allow you to grow, and it actually puts you further away from Christ. And, you know, speaking on the pandemic, our church adjusted. Pastor Gregory adjusted. Amen. I know I wasn't really a big fan of technology. I didn't even have Zoom downloaded on my phone. But guess what? When I had to get comfortable with technology and I said, hey, we want to still do this thing. And I know Pastor was like, because I even asked Pastor. I said, how are we going to do it? He said, brother, we're just going to take it one Sunday at a time. I said, you know what? That's all right. I'm going to be right there. Look, we're going to all be on together until we get. You still look now. I go to Zoom and I log in that thing like I was the one that created the app. But I remember before I was texting Jessica.
Yeah.
Look, and Sister Gregory, look, I was like, what's the password to get on? How you do this? I'm like, okay, I gotta hit the down. I said, like, can y'all send some directions on how to get on this call?
Right.
And again, I adjusted because I was committed. I was committed to saying, you know what? Forget my feelings. Forget this level of anger and frustration, and now I can't go into the church. I was committed to the bigger purpose.
Yeah.
Of saying, I'm in this with my church. I'm in this with my church members. This is bigger than how I feel. If everybody's doing it, I'm all in, and now look at us. It's part of us. The adjustment is a part of who we are and what we do, and guess what? It made us more versatile. When I got hurt, thank God for Zoom, because if he didn't have Zoom, I would have been offline. And in hindsight, I was like, you know what, I can still call in on Zoom because now I'm hurt. I physically can't get in there. But had we not adjusted, I would have missed out on a blessing for a whole year before I would have been able enough to get back in the church physically. So just being committed and trusting that process, it's going to suck at first. I'm not even going to sit here and lie to you. It may be difficult for a while.
Amen. That's real.
If you stay committed and you stay resilient to it, I promise you, when you make the adjustments, you're not going to see the change right away. You're going to see it maybe months down the lines or years. I know you look back and you'll be like, you know what? That had to happen for me to get to where I'm going. So I thank God for adjustment, but I'll be the first to tell you it can be a deterrent to Christians, preventing them from growing because we don't like change. And if we do want change, we want it on our terms, and we don't want to do it on God's terms. So until we take this walk seriously, the adjustment isn't dictated by you. It's dictated by the Lord. And the question is, are you going to answer the call to make those adjustments to either get you further away from the Word of God or get you closer to God? Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. Well, Sheila G, good session tonight. I'm going to ask you for your final comments and close it out in prayer, please.
Amen. We've heard quite a few sermons online today, and I just want to leave it at that. We all just continue to put our hands in God's unchanging hands and make the adjustments along our journey. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you once again for another powerful Bible study lesson. I pray, Lord, that we would just take those words, put them in our hearts, and apply them to our lives. In your precious name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. That's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.